James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want them to be able to come in, so if they don't come in, somebody go looking for them, because they... James chapter 4. Come on in, folks. We'll wait on you. It's a good day in the Lord, isn't it? 29 years. While they're coming in, let me ask you a question. Some of you have been around here for many years. Some of you have probably joined in the last few years, possibly months or even weeks. But let me ask you this question. I want to ask you two questions. Regardless of when you've joined or when you became a part of our fellowship, the first question is this. Are you closer to other people in the church today than you used to be? Just ask yourself that question. Am I closer to these brothers and sisters in Christ, my church family? Am I closer now than I was? Whether that's 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, whatever. Now, ask yourself this second question. Am I closer to the Lord today than I used to be when I joined this church? Now, that's a very important question. And certainly the answer to that question ought to be yes, by the grace of God, I am closer. I'm growing closer and closer and closer to my Lord. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be according to the Word? Well, two people agree with that. These are good questions. Am I closer to others? Am I closer to God? I want you to look at this scripture with me today as we're going to consider that second question, the most important. And that is, are we close to God? Chapter 4 of James, verse number 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, it is a real honor and privilege for us to be here today. In any Lord's Day, what an honor it is to open your word, to preach it and hear it. We ask now, Father, for your help. May you do what no man can do. Open our hearts, help us understand, and also help us to preach as best we can so that nothing gets in the way of you through your word speaking to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be more than hearers today. May we be doers of your word. We pray that you'll help us apply what we hear, and it might shape our lives, even change our hearts and our lives today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. A great question. Are we closer to God than we were? I want to talk to you this morning on drawing near to God. You notice in the passage we read there are several commands. And you could break them down in bite-sized statements. Look again with me. The statement begins verse 7, submit yourselves to God. Another quick statement, brief statement. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Then the statement we're going to focus on, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Another statement. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And then these other short commands, be afflicted, mourn, weep. And of course, that has specific application as it pertains to our spiritual life and not just an emotional response. Humble yourselves, it says, verse 10, in the sight of the Lord. And so these are all important commands, but I would submit to you that the central thought of this passage is what we're going to consider in verse 8. And that central thought is this: draw near to God, and God says, I will draw near to you. What a thought this is. I want us to consider it along four lines. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is this. Let's call it the privilege of drawing near. The privilege of drawing near to God. Notice it's put in the form of a command. It's also put in form of an invitation. But I want you to think for a few minutes here. Not only is it a command, it is that. Draw near to God. God has the right to say that, doesn't He? God has the right to say anything God wants to say. So this is a command, but it's more of an invitation, wouldn't you say? Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. But it's more than an invitation, it is a high privilege. Think of it. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Maybe you have had a long life's way, kind of a hidden desire, or maybe a known desire. If given the opportunity, you'd like to meet someone important. Maybe it's a football star, sports star, movie star, politician, king, queen, something like that. And you've thought, wouldn't that be neat to get close to them? Think of this, an invitation from the King of Kings, the God of heaven and earth: draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. What an invitation. What a privilege. And we know that this is a privilege only made possible to those who are saved. It's a worldwide invitation, but the only way we can draw near is through Christ and through salvation. It's a privilege that's extended to us based upon the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And as I think about this, I think about, you know, what a privilege it's going to be to enter heaven. You ever thought about what it's going to be like first day in heaven? I think there's an old gospel song, isn't it? Our first day in heaven as we're rolling along on the streets of gold. But when you think that's going to be a while, we don't know how long or how short that may be before we get there. But when you think of an invitation like this and a privilege like this, what actually he's saying is, there is a touch of heaven that can come to us right here, right now. Think of it like this. This is living a heavenly kind of life on earth. God drawing near as we draw near to Him. Now I want you to think with me. This is something that might not mean as much to us living here in 2017, not nearly as much as it would have if you had lived like in Old Testament times. Go with me in your mind and your heart for just a moment. Because all through the Old Testament, God told His people, there's distance between me and you. Now, we know it wasn't that way with Adam and Eve. God drew near, they were close, until sin came. And once sin came, there was separation. Holy God and sinful man. And God had ways of reminding people that's the way it had to be at that point in time. Remember when Moses saw the burning bush? What a moment that was. Turning point for Moses, turning point for the whole people of Israel. And the voice came out of the bush, Moses, don't draw near. Do not draw near. Take your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then, not long after that, we read in that same book of Exodus how Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments and other instructions about worship and so forth. And the people were told, all of the multitudes, stay at the bottom of the hill. The hill is off limits. You can't come into God's presence. Moses can, but you can't. And then on that mountain, Moses received instructions about the tabernacle, the place of worship. And remember how that was laid out. It was laid out in a specific order. There was this chamber and that chamber. The inner chamber, called the Holy of Holies, where only one man could go, and he only went in there once a year, into the very presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubims, all of that hidden behind a veil. And then later it was the same layout in the temple. Only difference was tabernacle was portable, temple was not. It was permanent. But what was God telling his people century after century after century? It's that everybody can't come. The priest can go so far, the high priest alone can go in. And what was God saying? He was saying, you can't come, but a mediator can come. Someone can come on your behalf. And even that person can only come through the shedding of blood. An atonement, a sacrifice involving the shedding of blood must be provided in order for even that one to come. And all of that was pointing toward Christ, wasn't it? When he came, everything changed. Everything. Not only did God say to us that he wants us to draw near by the fact that Christ came, because remember, one of Jesus' names, and we sang about it, is Emmanuel, God with us. He's telling us he wants to restore this relationship, but that was not enough for him just to come and live among men. He came and lived a perfect life and then died on Calvary. And you remember when he died on Calvary? As soon as he breathed his last and said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Remember what happened? The Bible tells us that in the temple, the veil, that heavy curtain, was torn from top to bottom, signifying that there was a way in to God's presence now that Jesus had died. You see, the privilege of being near to God, we take that for granted. But that can only be possible through the finished work, the perfect work of Christ, through his shed blood. And that's not me speaking. Listen to the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. Hebrews elaborates on that. Chapter 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we're able now to draw near by faith that Christ has opened the way. And through his shed blood, we now have access. We have that invitation, that high privilege to enter in. And then we know from Scripture that one day, if we're saved by the grace of God and we're covered by the blood of Christ, we'll enter into the very presence of God and we'll be there forever and ever. Oh, the privilege of being near. Did you know that's what heaven's all about? It's not about the streets of gold, though there are streets of gold. No, it's not about the pearly gates. It's not about the walls of jasper. It's not about all of this and all of that. It's about the presence of God. That's the heaven of heaven. Revelation 21, verse 3 tells us, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's heaven. And so now for him to say to us, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, he's saying you can have a heavenly kind of life right now on earth. I'll come near as you come near. The privilege of drawing near to God. Notice secondly, not only the privilege of drawing near, but I want you to notice the people who are able to draw near. Again, let's look at verse 8 in its context. What's required? We saw that a moment ago. We have to submit ourselves unto the Lord, recognize his authority, recognize his sovereignty, recognize his greatness, recognize his majesty, all there is about him. We submit. Listen, may I tell you today, if you know the truth about God, you will submit. The reason people do not submit to God, they don't know God. Or they know Him incorrectly. They think of a little God. Or they think of a false God. They think of a God as they imagine Him in their own mind. But you understand God as He reveals Himself in the words of Scripture, you will submit to this God because He's a great God. And gladly we submit to such an awesome, majestic, supreme God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. What about this? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That has to do with our activities, our actions. You've got to clean up and purify what you do, what you don't do. Purify your hearts. That has to do with our thinking, with our attitude. So not just anybody can come and draw near. Again, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. So all of this is a part of drawing near to God. In other words, you can't draw near to God unless to some degree you're willing to meet these other qualifications. You see, the problem with us is we say we want to draw near to God, but in reality what we want to do is we want to draw near to God like with one hand and we want to hold on to the world with the other. Hold on to sin with the other. Hold on to our way of thinking with the other. And that's not going to work. God says draw near, but draw near as sincere people with this kind of a heart, a submissive heart, and one who's pure and longing for holiness, and one who is afflicted and mourning, that is, for sin, repenting of sin, truly sorrowful about sin, a godly sorrow. And what a word this is for today's church. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. That's not to say that we don't have joy as Christians. Of course not, because the same Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What this is talking about is a lightheartedness, a frivolous attitude, kind of almost a mockery, that we know that God is serious and yet the things of the world attract us and we'll just do it anyway. We kind of have it both ways and you know, and God really doesn't care. Oh, yes, He does. And He says you need to start being broken over your sin, mourning over your sin, taking your sin as serious as I take your sin. And then you can draw near. These are the people that draw near. Look in chapter 4, you're right there at verse 4. This is a strong word. By the way, you would not have liked to have James as your pastor. I'm going to tell you. That'd be like having Rick Corum as your pastor. You know, Rick, you can take Rick for a week, but I'm going to tell you, if you know what I'm saying. I don't need to say any more. James was no nonsense. Right between the eyes, black and white. Here it is. Look what he says, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. So let it be said that this is not going to work if we're going to be friendly with the world, dabble in the things of the world, at the same time think that we're going to be on the closest of terms with God. It's not going to happen. John tells us the same thing, and he's the apostle of love, but he was a straight shooter too. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The point is, we have the privilege of drawing near, but we must be the people that God would draw near to. We can't just draw near with our sins in hand and say, I want a close walk with you with all of this other. God says, I'm not interested. Meet the other qualifications. And He says that to all of us without discrimination. These apply to all of His children. But it does say to draw near. Now, I want to take it a step further. A lot of times we preach a message And we'll say, man, that sounds good. Yes, that's true, brother. Preach it, preach it. But we somehow cannot connect from the world of the Bible to the world on Monday morning. And so thirdly, I want to talk to you about the plan for drawing near. The plan for drawing near. We sing a song sometimes, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. You know that song. Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And we say, man, we hear that song or we sing that song and our hearts swell, and yet the horse never gets out of the gate as far as that closer walk really is concerned. And why is that? I believe the missing ingredient is we don't have a plan. Let's go back to our earlier illustration. If there was a possibility you could meet that king or that queen or that sports star or that politician or that somebody, you say, man, I would just like the privilege of meeting them. You wouldn't just do it by happenstance or you just wouldn't do it by accident. You'd have a plan. You'd say, I've got to connect somehow, and here's how I'll go about doing that. Well, it's the same with God. It's not a haphazard thing. We have to have a plan. So I want to help us to get that kind of a plan. And I want to try to, if I can, take the guesswork out of God's work. We need to do more of that, you know. I'm going to say that again. Because that thought came to me and I thought to myself, I need to remember that. And so do you. Take the guesswork out of God's work. So much of God's work, we hear about this, and yet it's like an otherworldly kind of thing. How do we get from point A to point B? Well, I'm going to show you, give you a little plan, a little track to run on. It's three thoughts I want to share with you. First of all, we draw near to God in private devotion. You'll never draw near to the Lord unless you have a quiet time, a devotional time with God. And can I be honest with you today and give you a little testimony? It may surprise you. No one in my life ever challenged me, Stan, you need to have a daily quiet time, a daily devotional time where you're seriously reading the Bible, having time in prayer consistently as a habit. I never had anyone to challenge me until I was in my late 20s, get this, in seminary as a student for the ministry. And furthermore, it wasn't just a challenge in a chapel service or something like that. It was a requirement for a course. And I say that with embarrassment. And I say that as a tragedy, that I would live my life that long. And I'm saying it also so that I can say to you, I am now issuing this challenge to you. Maybe no one has ever challenged you. I'm convinced the farther along I go in my life and in my ministry, I'm convinced that one thing that's lacking in many Christians' lives is a consistent, quality, habitual, daily time with God. And what I want to say to you is you'll never draw closer to God unless you have that daily time. You just won't do it. And it needs to be in the morning. If you wait until up in the day, other things will happen. Start your day with time with God. You say, I don't have time. Oh, yeah, you do. Start it small. Start it bite-size. Don't say, well, preacher challenged me to have a devotional time. I'm going to read the Bible through. And I'm going to, here I am, Genesis. And you know, the death of a Bible reading plan happens about the fifth chapter of Genesis. You get over there and you read, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he died, and he died, and he died. And your plan to read the Bible through will die right there too. It's a death of many a devotion right there. No, don't do that. That'll come in time. But if you haven't been doing your devotional time, 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Read a psalm or read a short passage. Then spend a little time in prayer. First thing you know, that five minutes is going to expand, and you'll want to spend 10 minutes. And you'll set the clock a little earlier in the morning. And then first thing you know, it might be 15 minutes. You get the idea. But have a quiet time in the morning. Psalm 5 and verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Second thing you need to do in this plan is draw near to God in public worship. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves with other Christians, the Bible says, Hebrews 10:25. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, it says. Hebrews 10:25. Mark that verse down. Let me read it all to you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day of Christ coming, His return. So the closer we get to it, the more we ought to want to be in the public services. And if you have to work or you're sick, then of course you can't be here. But it needs to be a priority. What I'm saying to you is just like with the daily quiet time. If you want to get closer to God, then one way to do that, it's not the only way, but one way to do that is to be with God's people in God's house, learning more from God's book, singing God's songs, fellowshipping with God's people. And then the third thing, let's take it a step farther. If you're really serious about drawing near to God, draw near to God in a group Bible study. You say, well, I can study the Bible on my own. That's true, and you ought to do that. But there's some things you can't get on your own. You know, the Bible is inspired, and it will speak to you if you'll let it. But there's some things in here you need help with. Just like when I have a problem with my car. I may fix a flat tire, I may do this or that, I may do some minor things, but anything beyond a certain point, I'm going to need a mechanic. Are we arrogant enough to think that we can learn enough of the Bible on our own without some help? I mentioned seminary a minute ago. What's a seminary? It's a seminary where people training to teach other people as pastors and missionaries and what have you, they learn from people so they'll have something to be able to share and know the tools to be able to open the Word and dig in. And what is true of a pastor is true of a Christian. You may not be a missionary or pastor, but it's just like Philip. Not this Philip, but the Bible Philip. Philip met up with the Ethiopian, this guy going back to Africa. I love the story in Acts chapter 8. And just so happened, as the Lord had it, that Philip met this man in his chariot. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip, the Christian, calls up to this man who was not a Christian, but he's interested. He's wanting to find out. He says, sir, and I'm paraphrasing here, sir, do you understand what you're reading? And thank God for that man's honesty. The Ethiopian said, how can I except some man should guide me? At that point, Philip got up there with him and said, this means that and this means that. And he led him to Christ and baptized him. And what I want to say to you is we're all in the position of that Ethiopian. How can we understand unless somebody guides us? That's why we need to be in Sunday school and other opportunities that the church makes available for learning and growing, because you can't study this book on your own. Listen, I've been studying this book all these 34 years of pastoral ministry, and I need these classes. I tell these classes when I sit in and I leave the classes, I need it as much as you need it. Because there's something about growing together and equipping ourselves together. There's just something about that. Some of us have been through a study called Behold Your God. And you hear that talked about, and maybe you're wondering, what's the big deal? Well, one of the things in that study we've learned is how to draw near to God and how important that is. But doing it in a small group, we're encouraged as we read our book and watch the videos, and it's life-changing. I'm telling you, is it not? Those of you who've been through it, it's life-changing. And it's not just that study. It's any kind of study you do where we consider who God is and what God wants. And we draw near through small groups. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I want to walk with wise men. And one way we do that is by learning with wise men, and that's through these small groups. Come to the last thing I want to share with you and be done. But there's a fourth thing, and it kind of seals everything else that we've talked about. We're talking about drawing near to God. We're talking about the privilege of drawing near to God. The people who can draw near to God. A plan for drawing near to God. Are you ready for number four? Say amen. Here's the promise of drawing near to God. Look at the text once again. Draw near to God, and what? He will draw near to you. That's a promise. He will draw near to you. What a promise that is. What a promise it is. Think with me for just a few minutes about this promise. We sing an old hymn sometimes, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy praise." Think of what that song says. God is the fountain of every blessing. He is the source of every blessing. And here is one who's making a promise to us, an open promise, an ironclad promise. We say we stand on the promises of God. Here's one to stand on. Lord, I'm drawing near to you. You said you would draw near to me. And as he draws near to you and to me, you know what? All of his blessing will come to us. He is the source of all blessing. Let me mention just three here he'll bring. One thing is his joy. Listen to what Psalm 16 says, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. How about that? In God's presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now I know we quote that scripture mainly in relation to heaven. And surely when we get to heaven, that is a place, fullness of joy. But remember, as God draws near, we have a taste of heaven on earth. He brings his joy into our lives, into our hearts as we draw near. Then what about wisdom? The same can be said for that. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then peace and assurance. God brings those as he draws near. Psalm 27, verse 1. The psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I think of those dear people down there in Florida. And as we know, some of them know God, some don't. But those who know the Lord, even though the storm is raging, even though the winds are howling, even though the storm surge comes in, you know what I'm talking about. They have a peace and an assurance that passes all understanding, right? And the reason they do is because they're drawing near to God, and God is drawing near to them, reassuring them all is well. And what testimonies will come out of these storms, Harvey and Irma? My goodness, sometimes it's during the storm that we draw nearest to the Lord because we do these other things. We submit and we humble ourselves and all this other that goes with it. Well, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway because Jesus emphasized this. And that is, we must draw near with more than our lips. We can sing about it. I can preach about it. We can talk about it. We can think about it. But here's what Jesus said. Mark it down. Matthew 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's really a matter of the heart. And that's something that you will determine. If you have a heart and you want to draw near to the Lord. Can I tell you something that's an absolute truth? It's true of me, it's true of you. You and I are as close to God as we really want to be. You know that? You're as close to God as you really want to be. You can sing the song, "Just a Little Closer Walk with Thee," but it's just going to be a song unless you do what the Bible says. And the wonderful thing about God's promise, it's written with no hidden language here. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. But I want to remind you, you never have to worry if God's too busy. He's not. You never have to worry if He gets tired of us coming, tired of our company, tired of us wanting to draw near. He won't. You never have to think about God changing His mind. Well, today I'm not going to draw near because He's not like that. He's unchangeable. I'll tell you a quick story. Something happened to me and I thought of this and it had great, great meaning as I reflected back. And you can identify with this story because I'm sure the same thing, same kind of thing has happened to you. I'd say a year or two ago, I can't really remember the time, but there was a man that I greatly admire. And I had actually come to know about him through the Behold Your God study. He's a part of that. He appears on some of the videos and I had read some of his books and even went to Johnson City and heard this man preach two nights. Magnificent preacher. Wonderful author. Godly man. And I went down there just thinking in the back of my mind, maybe I'll get to shake his hand. Maybe I'll get to introduce myself. Maybe I'll get to know him personally. And then if the opportunity presents itself, I'm going to make an attempt to try to follow up, because he only lives 2 hours up the road, up 81. I was going to try to set things in motion. Again, the plan, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And I gave him my card. I got to meet him after one of the services. And I said, you know, here's my email. You can text me or call me here. And I just left it open-ended, hoping that he might contact me. And he kind of indicated that he would. And I said, I'll come up whenever it suits you. We maybe have some coffee, have a bite of lunch or what have you. And the sad truth is, I never heard from him. And I know he's nationally known. I'm nobody. And I got to thinking, well, why? Why didn't that happen? Of course, it wasn't God's plan, I guess. But I kept waiting. It's what I'm telling you. I kept thinking, well, maybe this week. He was busy last week. This week, I'll hear from him. Well, week after week after week, finally month after month, I finally realized that guy's not going to call me. But I said that to say this. Though that was a disappointment, God will never disappoint. He gives an open invitation. You draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Father, thank you for that wonderful, wonderful invitation, that high privilege, highest of all. And I pray today we would take advantage of that. And may this be a time when we put into practice those things you've reminded us of, where we would draw near to you in very practical ways. And Lord, we do believe with all of our heart, if we do that with a right spirit, humbling ourselves and all that we've talked about, you would do your part. You would, in fact, draw closer to us, and we would just see our relationship grow and deepen, and it would be richer and more wonderful than it's ever been. That's our prayer today, that we would do our part. We know you'll do your part. Help us to do ours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.